Welcome back to Jules on the Hustle. Today I have professional tennis player and good friend Lauren Davis joining me. I'm very excited to ask her about her quarantine, what she's been up to. Her parents are actually frontline healthcare workers. Her mother is a nurse and her father is a cardiologist. And my father is actually a doctor on Long Island, so we'll definitely have a lot to discuss there. Not only is it hard on our parents, but it's hard on us because we're worried about them, and we're worried about them potentially bringing the virus back to the house and exposing maybe individuals that have weaker immune systems and all that. So that'll be interesting to kind of compare notes there. And I also want to ask her what she thinks about the level of tennis once competition returns. Does she think, because tennis is so much about momentum, and with this big break, I'm really curious as to whether she thinks that the level of tennis will get a little bit more sloppy once we return back on the court and all that. We will discuss how 2017 was such a bright part of her career thus far. She reached her career high of 26 in 2017. And lastly, we will talk about our doubles. We played doubles together in the $60,000 event in Las Vegas in 2018. She, of course, took the backhand side, and we will discuss why, because her backhand is killer and my forehand ain't too bad, if I may say so. And I made my Tennis Channel debut, and she was on the Tennis Channel one more time out of her, like, 50,000 times on there. Yeah, so not as exciting for her. But anyway, I'm very excited for this one. Without further ado, Lauren Davis. Lauren, how has quarantine been for you, and where are you?
Quarantine has been all right for me. It's definitely been tough not being able to play tennis, but I've stayed fit and doing some workouts and stuff, and trying to keep my mind busy. I've been doing my nutrition course and just making up for lost time spent with my aunt and my cousins in Florida, and then also my boyfriend. But I do miss my family back home in Cleveland.
Nutrition course, is that through like a school or through a nutritionist?
Yeah, it's called Integrative Nutrition, IIN, and it's actually based in New York. So I've been doing it on and off for about a year. But yeah.
That's a long course.
I know. But I have, like, I've been slacking at times, so that's why it's taken me so long. But yeah.
So when you think of Lauren Davis, you think of like washboard abs. How are you able to stay in that good shape during this time?
Yeah, I'll have my fitness trainer send me some workouts to do, and I've been spending a lot of time outside, so I'll mainly do them outside. I've been rollerblading, going for runs here and there, just taking walks, keeping it pretty simple, but making sure that I'm in the sun.
Yeah, I feel like that's super important, being outside, getting that fresh air, and just, right. It gets hard when you're always inside, even though that's what they want us to do in New York.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, and I remembered this, but then I forgot. Your mother is a nurse, right? And your father is a cardiologist?
Mm-hmm.
Are they, like, at all in the hospital right now during this time?
Oh, yeah. So my dad, he quit his practice probably about a little under 5 years ago, and so he just dedicates his time to writing books and traveling and stuff, so obviously he's not traveling at the moment, but still writing. And then my mom, she is a nurse. She works in AIDS research, but she has not been called to the front lines, mm-hmm. because I guess she said that they're calling the younger ones. My mom's like almost 60, so she has not been called to do that. though.
Oh, yeah. I feel like, obviously, the older you get, the more at risk you are.
Yeah.
That's good that... Is there any chance that she will be called? But it doesn't seem like the situation is that bad where she is.
Right, yeah. No, I don't think there is a chance she will be called. Because I don't think the hospitals in Cleveland are being overwhelmed with patients with COVID, luckily. So that's good, yeah.
Yeah, so my dad is a pediatrician in Long Island in New York, and he's been still, like, in his office, but not necessarily, like, in the hospitals, but obviously New York is one of those places that's, you know, kind of covered with coronavirus, so you just never know. Yeah, so it's rough. You always worry about them and stuff like that. So what do you miss most about the daily grind or tennis right now, would you say?
I definitely miss competing. I really miss it.
Yeah.
The past couple years, so 2018 I was outside the top 100. I dropped quite a bit. My lowest ranking or highest, however you want to call it, was like 220 actually. So I was back to playing challengers and all that. And so this year, 2020, yeah, this year is the first year that I'll be able to play like a full schedule. So it really does think that this has all happened because we have some really nice tournaments coming up, and I was just so excited to like be in the main draw and not have to like work my way there, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Or grind through qualifying. I'm trying to think. I think Australian Open this year was the first slam I got into on my own ranking in like a year and a half or 2 years. So it was like, it was just really nice and just fulfilling that all my hard work was being paid off.
Right. No, that's such a good point you bring up. I think tennis more than any other sport, because it's so individual, momentum is huge. And this is obviously a huge momentum stopper. And I feel like in other sports, like basketball, football, there's like sub-ins, there's a roster. If you're having an off week or day, like you can put your best players forward. Whereas in tennis, if you're feeling hot, like you got to keep going. And this kind of just crushes that. So going off of that, you won your first WTA title in 2017. That was in Auckland, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's really, that's awesome. And then the quarters of the Qatar Total Open in Doha, and then the Dubai Duty Free Championships and Rabat, you got to the quarterfinals of all those events, and they were all kind of like back to back ish. And then, like, that led you to your career high in 26. What do you think was just brought all that success in 2017? Was there like an adjustment in your game or just confidence?
Yeah, so I definitely had a ton of confidence. I had like a good team around me, and they really believed in me. And they pushed me, they challenged me, and all of that just kind of had me gain confidence, not just in myself as a tennis player, but also as a person off the court. So it was definitely like a whole person type of thing.
Right.
But yeah.
When tennis players are having success, I feel like a lot of different things need to be working together. It's not really just like one thing. It's like you need to be mentally well, physically well, emotionally well. So many different parts of your life have to just be like aligned. And that's what makes tennis very difficult.
So difficult, yeah. There's so many different aspects to it.
Absolutely. Now, we were saying that tennis is all about the momentum, because I don't know how long we're all going to be off, but because it's so much about that momentum, do you feel like the level of tennis once we all start competing is going to be at a lower level?
It'll be really interesting to see, because I don't think by the time all of this is over, by the time we're all back to competing, I don't think any of us will have gone this long without, without competing, unless you've been injured.
Injured, exactly, exactly.
Right, yeah. I just know I haven't been this long without playing a tournament. After all this is done. But, yeah, it'll be interesting. I know that a lot of us are just itching to get back, and we're probably only halfway through the time that we'll have been if when we get back to playing. That makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I'm really excited to get back. And for a few weeks there, it was nice to have a break off from tennis. But now I'm just like, I want to start training again, want to get back into the swing of things, and which is really good because I have that motivation and that drive and stuff. But on the other hand, we have quite a bit of time left, so I have to kind of pace myself and and continue to just like take it easy, take it slow, and because who knows if we'll have an off season this year, you know?
That's so true. We may just play all the way through the year and not have a break
to take time off. And if we don't have an off season this year, we won't have time off until 2021 end of the year.
End of 2021. That's a good point. I guess there is a chance that they use the off season as a time to postpone some of the tournaments that were supposed to be earlier in the year.
Yeah.
So, like, the only Grand Slam that hasn't really been touched this year is obviously the U.S. Open. Do you have any thoughts on whether you think that that event will occur?
If it does occur in New York, I will be...
Of all places, in New York.
Yeah, I'll be so very surprised. But
yeah,
you never know. And then also, I feel like they could have it, but choose a different location.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping, as a lot of us are, that it will continue to go on. And whether that's with spectators or not, who knows? I think we just want to get back to competing, but... But,
I heard rumors that it could potentially be moved to Ohio, and I heard...
What?
Yeah, I did hear that, and I heard rumors it could be... Yes, actually, in Cincy. You would love that. You would adore that.
Oh my gosh, I would totally love that.
You would, like, dominate with your backhand all over that court.
How amazing would that be, though? Because U.S. Open, in my home state,
That.
You can't get any better than that. You know?
Now you know how I, or like how New Yorkers feel when they have the U.S. Open. It's just like unbelievable.
I get it now.
So I heard that it could be in California as well at Indian Wells. These are all rumors. Like that wouldn't be so bad either.
Right.
But yeah, New York seems like a bit of a stretch. But what makes everything seem so difficult and far-fetched is that obviously... Different countries are... Tennis is an international sport, obviously, and different countries are in different situations. The United States probably being in the worst condition right now. So it's like you can't have one part of the world resume back to normal play and then not have, like, have travel restrictions or not let people in the United States travel. So, like, everyone has to be united in one, and kind of we all have to come back together.
Right. So totally.
That's tricky.
I'm wondering if they were to move the U.S. Open to Indian Wells, I'm wondering if they would actually have the Indian Wells tournament then, you know?
Yeah. No, that's it's a very valid point.
That's a slim chance, but... Who knows?
It's such a beautiful venue.
It's all like uncharted territory.
Totally. I want to talk about our doubles a little bit. We played doubles in Vegas in 2018. I want to say that was in September. And Lauren, I had the most fun in my entire life on the tennis court with you. We were the shortest team in existence. Our combined height was probably like 6 feet. I'm just kidding. And I don't know. So many times I play with partners that are kind of very stressful without throwing anyone under the bus.
And
for me, like, my best level comes out when I'm with a partner that is very positive and encouraging. And that's what you brought, Lauren. You were just very positive, and I think our games really complemented each other. Me on the forehand side, you, of course, taking that backhand because it's a bullet. So you're 5'2". Now, how would you say you use your height to your advantage?
Yeah, a lot of people, like, the first question I'll get from fans or from the press or whatever is, how do you do it with your height?
Right.
And honestly, I've said this ever since I was a kid, like, I genuinely believe that it's not really a disadvantage because...
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I'm obviously playing amongst giants, people who tower over me, but they have a lot of things that I don't have, and I have things that they don't have. So
exactly.
I think I make up for it with my speed.
Yes.
My agility around the court, and then the ability that I have to take time away from my opponent to take the ball early, because I do have that speed, and I do have the racket head speed and the good hands, you know. So I definitely believe that that is a strength that some players don't have. And I do all that I can to maximize that, I guess.
No, I totally agree with you. You make such a good point there that we have things that maybe someone that's like 6 foot tall wouldn't be able to, you know, we easily will get to a drop shot,
right,
or a body serve, whereas someone with a larger, what is it, arm span, I don't know, would have a hard time if, like, you jam them on a serve. So, so when people say, like, how do you do it with your height, like, you can be asking a 6 foot tall girl, how do you do it with your height? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, totally. Tennis is all about the movement, and, I mean, a lot of it is about the movement, and that's where we thrive. You're very explosive. I know when you serve, you're like 50 feet above the court, and I think it's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Now, going back to being in quarantine, what would you say was a thing that you learned most about yourself or life in general, or tennis even?
Yeah, that's a really good question, because... Yeah.
It could be a few things, too. I know we're all learning a lot now.
Yeah, because I've been trying to use this time to not rely so heavily upon, like, external stimulation, such as the phone, you know?
Absolutely.
Because it's just, like, so automatic to just go on my phone, check Instagram, like, a million times a day. And it gets to the point where it's just, like, I'm so tired of doing that, you know? Like, why don't I put down the phone and try to go within and, like, you know, tap into my intuition or whatever? Because I feel like, I mean, also as a culture, we've just totally lost that with all this technology and stuff. And I think we obviously have a lot of free time to do that now. But yeah, I've been trying to meditate and just sit in silence and be okay with it. Try and find different hobbies and tap into nature. I think that's really powerful, really healing. Nature is definitely, like, one of the joys that I have in life. So
I love that. I definitely agree with you. And I feel like I keep repeating this to different people, but it's so important to realize that we're in a pandemic right now. And that doesn't mean that you need to pick up a side hustle or you need to constantly clean your house or change something about yourself. People are changing their hair colors or trying to become better people. And that's not the case. Like, you just need to really have your sanity and just kind of try to cope and just enjoy, like, the little things, I feel like. Like you said, nature. That's huge. For me, I value a cup of coffee more than ever, or reading now for, like, the first time since school. And I finally, like, learned how to cook, and that's not because I feel like I wanted to pick up a hobby, but I find it kind of therapeutic and stuff like that.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, no, it's Very true. I just wanted to ask you something, one last thing about the U.S. Open again, kind of jumping backwards. Do you think that the players will be as motivated without fans? Because if I recall, it was like Roger Federer or someone that said he wouldn't play without fans, because he's like, the fans are what keeps him moving.
Right. Yeah.
And it could depend on what stage you are of your career. If you're a Roger Federer, you've made it, and
right.
like you've yeah. defined yourself as a GOAT. You know what
yeah.
I mean?
That's totally incredible, because being Federer and like where he is, where he's at, and what he's accomplished, like it's pretty amazing how much he values his fans. Like that's incredible, and that's why he is a GOAT. You know?
Yeah.
But for me, I think I would be all right just because I miss competing so much, and I would take competing for sure, you know, over not having fans, even though for the U.S. Open, I mean, not just for the U.S. Open, but for any tournament, but especially the U.S. Open, because it's our home slam, and, like, I've never played on Ash, but, like, it's been my dream, and, like, I would just die to play on there, and I feel like more than half of the whole experience is because of the atmosphere, you
absolutely
know? The night matches, the crazy fans, how passionate they are, like it's an incredible experience, I imagine.
Yes,
you know?
Yes, absolutely.
Like, I played on smaller I played on I forget what it was called. I played Ash Barty on
oh you played on
stadium.
Grandstand or Armstrong?
Maybe Armstrong.
I thought it was Armstrong.
Okay. Yeah,
I remember that match vividly. I was watching it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wasn't the second set, or it was one set was a tiebreaker.
Right. Yeah. I think I may have had a set point.
Yeah.
It was 6-2, 7-6. But
right. Right.
Yeah, that was a night match, and that was just super cool, and just so many great memories from there. And I think it would definitely be hard for a lot of players to not have fans there. That would be definitely tough, but
I feel like the love of the game would really be apparent for some players.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a lot. I feel like fans definitely help, especially in the latter parts of tournaments when you're so tired and energy levels are low. But it would be really interesting. I think the two parts that matter most are like what part of your career you're in, whether it's like, you know, you're phasing out a little bit, and then also how much you really love the game and miss it. So,
right. Yeah. 100%.
Well, Lauren, thank you so much for joining me. Is there any last things you would like to discuss or point out about this time or your career or advice?
Not really.
Okay.
I
yeah.
covered it.
Yeah, we were pretty thorough, I'd say. Well, I wish you the best of luck in the rest of quarantine. We'll obviously chat more at some point, but stay healthy and safe.
Thanks, Jules. Thanks for having me. This was fun.
Thank you, Lauren. Appreciate it. And that was professional tennis player Lauren Davis. I found it so fascinating and honestly so true what she said about the US Open, what it would be like if there were no fans. Of all the Grand Slams, I feel like the US Open is really known for their electrifying atmosphere and the fans going wild. And, you know, in Wimbledon, everyone is so behaved and calm and civil. But then, you know, everyone goes nuts for the US Open. So to have no fans during that slam would definitely be an adjustment. I find it really fascinating that Roger Federer says that, you know, like, obviously I feel like he would play, but the fans are really what drives him. And I think it's really a measure of just where you are in your career. Someone like Lauren, who's trying to make it back to where she was in 2017, who would just love to be back on the court competing. So I really enjoyed hearing that about her, and then also how she's just enjoying the nature and the sun and the simple things during quarantine. I think that's super important because we take the little things for granted usually, but right now we appreciate that stuff more than ever. As always, guys, follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Jules Elbaba, at JULESELBABA. See you guys next time.